Guys, y'all going down? Are you looking up a song to sing? You and Samantha? Are y'all looking up a song to sing in the service? Be okay. I'll call. Do I need to give her notice or just you're just going to call her off the floor? Okay. Just call her off the floor. Okay. We've come to worship and praise an almighty God today. Is that why you're here? I hope everybody come for that. Good day to be in the house of the Lord. A little bit cool outside. We just got word from LaForest. She's in Dallas, Georgia. 12 inches of snow. Dallas, Georgia. 12 inches of snow. She snowed in. She couldn't get back for church today. Said they didn't have much food, not many drinks, but she's down there with James. They'll handle it. I mean, it'll be okay. But I thought, in Dallas, Georgia, you know, 12 inches of snow. Nearly makes me mad, don't it, y'all? You know that we got this much and they get that much down in just outside of Atlanta? Kind of makes me mad. That's not fair, is it? I like at least enough to turn the tailspin in. I guess y'all can tell. Ever since I've moved out here, you know, you come by and one guy said, I wonder who does all that tailspinning in the church. And I thought, I don't know who that is. It said, it might be my wife or somebody, you know. But we love to play in the snow. Good to be in the house of the Lord today. Good to see everybody. Come out in a good mood. I mean, just a beautiful day. A little bit cold, but sun's shining. And we've come to worship and praise the Almighty God. We're coming into Christmas season, you know, and I think we ought to get started early. You know, we talked about this before Sunday school. We need to get started in time that we can get enough praise and worship and uplifting of God in before Christmas actually gets here, because it comes and goes pretty quick. And so we'll worship and praise God. I want to look at a few verses of Scripture today out of Acts chapter 13. We're going to talk about Paul and Barnabas and some of the other disciples. They were separating. They were going their own ways, and everywhere they went, they were proclaiming Jesus Christ, the Son of God, crucified for the sins of the world and resurrected at the right hand of the Father. That's the major message that all of them had, because that's what they had seen. And so when we talk about, you know, they were fully come into the age of grace, and now that they were in the grace and they saw this crucifixion, they saw the resurrection, they knew that it was real, that the sins of the world could be forgiven through this Son of God, Jesus. And that's their main message. Boy, everywhere they went, that's what they preached. Now, I want us to notice today some of the ways they brought this in action or brought it into effect when they started talking to everybody around them. So, Acts chapter 13, verse 14, it said, "But when they departed from Persia, they came to Antioch, to Poseidon, and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down." Now, we're talking about Paul and Barnabas. You'll find that John had departed and went back to Jerusalem. But here's two men of God coming into the temple, and it said they went in and sat down. And at verse 15, "And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, You men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on." Now, when I started thinking about this last night, I'd read through this yesterday, and it came on my mind last night about them going in and sitting down and having the reading of the law. That's pretty much the way most ever temples service or every church service started. But then down at the end of it, the rulers and the elders looked over to Paul and Barnabas and said, "If you have any exhortation for the people, say on." They gave them an opportunity to stand up and tell something good. Amen. I got thinking about the opportunity, you know. They didn't say, "Stand up and tell us all your bad news." They didn't get up and say, "We want to hear what went wrong this week." They said, "If you got a word of exhortation, stand up and tell it." In other words, if you got something good to tell, bring it in the church. Bring it in. You know, share it with us that we might be uplifted and strengthened also. Now, when they gave them this opportunity, they were quick to accept it, no doubt. Paul stood straight up, and he began beckoning with his hands. In other words, he got so excited, he'd give them a little hand signal, you know, getting their attention. He wanted them to know that God had put them in the age of grace, and God had gave them a Savior. And so, when I got thinking about, you know, these rulers, they said, "If you've got a good word, tell it." Isn't that a good rule for church? Still today, if you got a good word, tell it. Amen. If you got something bitter or aggravated about, just take it back home with you. We don't really want it here. But, you know, that's what he did. In verse 16, then Paul stood up and beckoned him with his hand, said, "Men of Israel and ye that fear God, give audience." And so we see he's talking to the saved people. He's talking to the children of God. He's talking to ones that truly believe. He had a good word for them. Having good words to say. No better time to have good words to say than at Christmas, when we can uplift or encourage or make a difference in somebody's life. In verse 17, the God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt, and with a high arm brought them out of it. So he starts telling them a good word of exhortation that he's uplifting, he's strengthening. He starts telling them about something that happened years before. And I got thinking about this, you know, why would he go back that far talking about when the children of Israel were carried away bondage down to Egypt, when they were slave children? And, you know, he starts with this, and he starts talking about the God of our fathers. And he starts reminding them, if you'll think about these children of God down in Egypt, they had no hope of escaping the bondage. They had no way out. They had no avenue to travel that they could escape. And they had to look to and trust God, because God was going to bring them out. I'm going to tell you, when we find ourselves in a position we can't get out of ourselves, God always can. He can always get us out of that position. He can always make the way. He can always strengthen us to the point. He brought the children of Israel out of Egypt with a high arm, it said. I like that thought. They went out, not just went out, they went out shouting and praising God, no doubt. And so when Paul took them back to this point, I began thinking, why in the age of grace is he bringing back things that happened under the law? You know why he did it? Because Paul was smart. He wanted to get their attention and show them something that had already happened, had already taken place, so they couldn't doubt the power of God. You know, there's no way to doubt the power of God when you look back and see what he did in the Old Testament. Who could doubt it? They'd been taught this for thousands of years, some 4,000 years almost at that time. And so they believed that. And then verse 18, and about the time of their 40 years, suffered he their manners in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. And so he's going back, and he took them back to Egypt, and he's letting them see the deliverance. Now, I want to put this to you in this way and try to bring this out. When Paul dropped back to Egypt, and when he talked about bringing them out the high hand, what got them turned loose? It was the killing of the firstborn. It's when God took the firstborn of everything in Egypt. Amen. It put Pharaoh in the point. He didn't just let them go. He run them off. He wanted them out of his country. He said, we've already died from you. Let's go back and look at that, just a little bit of that. Y'all turn back with me. Exodus chapter 12. I'll read in Exodus chapter 12. We'll read just a little bit of that. This is always a good thing. Now, here's Paul. He's taking them back to Egypt, reminded them when they was in bondage, reminded them that God had done the work that it took to get them released out of bondage. He had brought them out with a high arm. Now, when we talk about God and his power to deliver, God can do whatever it takes to deliver us as he did them. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 21. Exodus chapter 12, verse 21. Then Moses called all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out at the door of this house until morning. And so it drops back, and Paul is bringing this into effect. He's showing them that the blood of Jesus is their hope. I'm talking about they had saw the crucifixion. They saw Jesus bleed on the cross. And they knew that through that blood, he had given us deliverance of sin. And so he takes them back and he starts talking about this Passover. He said when God's going to come, he's going to take the firstborn of everything. Animal, people, everything. God's going to destroy it. Going to bring death. And he's telling these people, he said, now you take this bunch of hyssop, you dip it in the blood of the sacrifice, and you go over the doorpost, the lintel, and you go through both side posts, and then go inside and don't come out from under the blood. You know, that's still a pretty good plan today, that we put the blood of Jesus on our house. Have y'all ever thought about that? That we have that representation of the blood of Jesus on our home, and we get in, we don't go out. You know, that's where the safety and that's where protection is. What this was going to do was deliver them from death. The blood of Jesus will deliver you from death. Believe on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It says you'll never die. And he's talking about the spirit. Flesh will lay down one day. Pointed to man wants to die. Flesh, man. But that inner spirit will live forever. And that's what he was going back to. And when he was bringing this point about Jesus, they were preaching Jesus. And he was using the Old Testament. And he started telling them, he said, in verse 23, he said, for the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and upon the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and come into your houses to will not suffer to the destroyer to come into your house to smite you. And you shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy son forever. So it wasn't a one-time thing. He said, I want you to do this and take it for an ordinance to you and your sons and further down the road. He wanted this to happen. He wanted the blood applied. They were putting it on the doorpost. You can put it on your heart. Blood applied. I mean, and we're talking about not the blood of a lamb, but the blood of the Lamb, the Son of God. That was shed on the cross of Calvary. So Paul goes back to Old Testament and says, you remember when you couldn't? God could. You remember when you didn't have any hope? God made the way. He gave hope. God brings hope to everybody through this blood shed by His Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross of Calvary. As we celebrate His birth, let's also keep in mind about His death. From beginning to end. It goes down a little farther in verse 25, and it shall come to pass when you be come to the land which the Lord will give you, according as He had promised, that you shall keep this service. And you shall it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what mean you by this service? That you shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the house of the children of Israel in Egypt, when He smote the Egyptian and delivered our houses, and the people bowed the head and worshiped. He said, I don't want just this group to know about it. He said, but when your children ask about it. He said, the new land you're going to possess, that I'm giving you a promised land. He said, take this with you. You know, I think a lot about take it with you. You know, the tradition, the things of old that God said do, and He set it up for an ordinance. He said, take it with you. He said, you're going into a new land. It's going to be a new opportunity. But I want you to have this left over. This putting the blood on the lintel and on the doorpost, resembling and showing the protection that God gives us through the blood. Your protection, your deliverance today comes through the blood of Jesus Christ. If you don't have it applied to your heart, you're in danger. You need to apply it. Let's go back to New Testament. Acts chapter 13, going back where it was. Acts chapter 13, and I'll go back to verse 20. He's going to stay back Old Testament a while, reminded them of the things that God had done in verse 20. And after that, He gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet. And afterwards, they desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul, the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for the space of 40 years. And so it's just relating what God had already done. And when he gets back to start talking about Saul, you know, the people decided, we want to be like all other nations. You know, they had the prophets. They had the judges. And all of a sudden, they're not satisfied with that. They want something different. They want to be like all the nations around them. And it spoke of and talked about in Old Testament scripture. They had desired a king. They said, let us have a king to lead us. We want to be like everybody else. God don't intend his people to be like everybody else. Now, that's just it. That's my words, but it's according to the word of God that he just don't intend his children to be like everybody else. They wanted a king. They said, let us be like all the other nations. God had set them apart that they wouldn't be like all other nations. But God let them have a king. Although he knew what it'd be, he said, he'll take you. Children, make men servants and maid servants out of them. He said, he'll take your crops, he'll take your oxen, take everything you got. He warned them against it, but they would not have it any other way, so he allowed them to go through it. Some of the hardships, troubles, and problems we're having in this nation today, God's allowing us to go through it that we might learn a lesson from it. And we need to look at those things. Verse 22, and when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Now, we're talking about the same David that had the sin with Bathsheba. And so we realize about forgiveness of God. When God declared him to be, what did he say? He said, I found David to be after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. That shows us the forgiveness of God. So Paul rolled this in to know, let him know that, all right, God had already forgiven David, and if he could forgive David, he could forgive them also. I like the way he uses Old Testament to bring forth the news to these people. These people were in a transition period. They were going from the law that was given to Moses, the law of God, unto grace. And they were going into transition. So he was using something that might help them come into fully into grace. I'm going to tell you, forgave David, he'll forgive you. Without a doubt, we've already saw it. Could God's word speak of David, a man after his own heart, if he hadn't forgiven a sin? Ask yourself that question. No. How's God's heart? There's no sin in God's heart. There's no evil in God's heart. There's no bitterness in God's heart. But he said, listed him, and he said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. And so we see the forgiveness God gave to David. And then we have people with us still today that although God forgave them, they won't forgive themselves. God forgave him. Called him a man after his own heart. God can't speak those words or give those words to come to us unless he is forgiven. It goes down a little farther, and Paul's using these things that have already happened, already taken place. In verse 23, of this man's seed had God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. When John had first preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, and as John fulfilled his course, he said, whom think ye that I am? I am not he, but behold, there cometh one after me, whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. So he preached Jesus. He preached the Son of God. He preached the crucifixion. He preached the blood shed on the cross of Calvary all through the Old Testament, that he might bring them farther into grace and a belief and trust in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and what God had done. These guys divided out and they went their own way. But boy, they all had the same message, didn't they? They preached what they had saw. They preached what they had experienced. They preached about the blood. They preached about the crucifixion. They preached about the love of Jesus. I think that's where I want to stop today. Samantha, we didn't... I don't even see her. There she is. She moved on me. Y'all come up. We're going to have a verse for song. As they're coming, I want you to think about this. I want you to think about this situation God told them. He said, apply the blood. You see what he said? He said, apply the blood of the sacrifice. Our sacrifice is Jesus, died on the cross. That blood's still available. You can apply that blood to your heart, to your doorway. We accept things and receive things from the eyes and from the heart and from the ears that we hear. You can cover that doorway, that entrance, with Jesus' blood today. Anybody that needs to pray, it's going to be an open time. They're going to sing a verse of song. And if you need to pray, you come on up. There'll be somebody, I'm sure, to join you. Why don't everybody stand while I sing this song? Show a little reverence today.
Looking for answers, you need a way out. You've been trapped in that trial, full of sorrow and doubt. You saw a trickle of sunlight, but you found no escape. Just hold on to his promises.
Amen.
He said that he'd make a way. He'll make a way.
Yeah.
In the middle of nowhere, when it seems no one really cares, he is there by your side. Make a way when you feel Satan closing. And don't give up, don't give in. He'll make a way right on time. Standing at the Red Sea with no place to go, Pharaoh's army was closing in. They'd soon overthrow. Right out of nowhere came a mighty strong hand. He rolled back the water. When it seems no one really cares, he is there by your side. And he'll make a way when you feel safe and closing. Don't give up, don't give in. He'll make a way right on time.
You know, I can't help thinking that, you know, as we stand here, and we may not even realize, but God's working something out right now. Right now. You know, something that's not right with us or some problem we have, but He's working it out right now. You know, He can do those kind of things. He's going to take care of it. Appreciate the song.